This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. And we are presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results. Standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. John Paul Flame joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Pickle. That is the foursome. What brought you that wow?
I was watching a highlight of Xander Bogaerts last night against the Mariners. Silly play. Silly. Incised. By the way, the movies he's going to review are awful. No one wants to see Tag.
You're not a big fan of The Incredibles?
Oh, my God.
I believe Incredibles 2 coming out.
It is.
Do we have Kevin on the line? Kevin joins us, Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. Hey, Kevin.
Papa Squeezy.
Yeah,
Squeezy Rick.
Hey,
what's going on, Papa Squeezy?
Sicario 2 comes out when next Friday, correct?
June 29th, and I saw 29th. It the other day. Jason, I will text you after the show's over. I can't review the movie yet, but I have seen it. I just sat down yesterday with Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin, Jason, I know you're with me on Del Toro. He's like one of the best actors ever. I mean, Traffic and The Way of the Gun. But yeah, I mean, walking into a Usual Suspects. But yeah, the Sicario Day of Soldado is the name of the movie.
So
comes out on June 29th.
All right, you don't have to wait until after the show. Text me right after the interview.
Hey, is Brolin the guy who was gleeking with you or whatever the hell you call that?
Dude. Brolin's awesome. So Josh Brolin, I don't know what's going on, but him and I have like this bit where we do scenes in all of our interviews. So he calls them scenes. The first Sicario movie I ever interviewed him for, I tried to have a legitimate serious discussion with him because it's a very serious, brutal film, as Jason knows. But all he wanted to do was fart the entire interview. So every time I spoke, he would just make fart sounds. And so then every interview I've done with him since then, he's kind of just throwing it off the rails. The next interview we did, he compared me to a toilet and said that I'm a toilet that he's resting on when he's doing his press. It was really crazy and funny. And then the next interview you're referring to, JP, is the one for Deadpool 2 where he was gleeking the entire time. Yeah, I saw him yesterday. He's like the nicest guy on the planet, but he's so great in Sicario. I mean, Jason, you remember Brolin's character. He's like so good, and so is Del Toro. So I know you're excited about that one, Jason.
Any other of the critics?
Not that I know of. I mean, it's funny because like he follows me on Instagram. So like when I walked in the room yesterday, he was like, I don't even need to ask you how you're doing. I already know how you're doing. I see all your photos and read all your captions. I'm like, dude, you're Josh Brolin from the Goonies. Why are you reading my stuff? It's really weird. It is genuinely weird.
From the Goonies. That's the movie you pick. Josh Brolin from the Goonies.
Can I say one thing to you guys real quick? I'm not just saying this. Eric, I know you're there today. I know you're not listening to what I'm saying right now, but you could just take a second to listen to what I'm saying. When you passed me the other day at the parade, I literally almost got tears in my eyes. That was insane.
Why?
I had no idea. Well, first of all, I didn't know that you guys were in the parade at that point because, you know, we were working in the morning, and I'm sitting there on the street corner at 12th and Constitution, and then I see you and JP rolling. And honestly, I was shocked only JP. Because here's the thing. You guys deserve to be in that parade, no question.
No.
So it wasn't – I think you do. After all the coverage you've done over the years.
It's fine. You were surprised to see us. That's cool. I get it. You were surprised.
But it was like – it was a genuine shock and then an immediate just happiness that went over me seeing you there, just looking out and then having – and then, oh, my God. And, I mean, being right there, as you know, was insane. I'm not even a big sports guy, and you guys know that. But that was a big day. I mean, it transcended sports. I think you guys could agree with that. It was bigger than that.
Were you nervous covering it at all? Because Fox 5 couldn't have found somebody who knows less about the Capitals and hockey than you. Well, and yet they had you covering the parade.
What they did was they had us all over the place. So I was just kind of the guy. I was there with Britt McHenry, and I was kind of the guy that we just basically just covered what was happening at that place. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I know the players basically specifically because of all the news stories that have come out with the Stanley Cup and them winning. I mean, Oshie, like, I know that particular person because of the Metro stories that I hear about him. And I'm not a huge Caps person, clearly. But as I said, This was bigger than hockey and sports. So
right, you did
it just genuinely
made light story or natural light, whatever it was, and did the Stanley Cup built out of beer cans.
Hey, Kevin, Kevin, next time you see Tucker, tell him again that I apologize for calling him Topper Shut to his face on the day of the parade.
No, you didn't.
I did. Well, I did wait, by what? Accident.
That's classic. Classic
I
did. Cakes.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, my God.
It was just a brain.
That is hilarious.
It's a weird to go back in time.
Like if I see Tucker or I even see Topper, I would say, "What's up, Tucker?"
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't say to either of them, "What's up, Topper?"
I had 30 seconds with my guy Max, the cameraman. Then I turned to Tucker.
Did you call him Max Giamatti?
No, I just said, "Max, what's up?" You know, we hugged a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then I turned to Tucker and I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Topper Shut." And he looked at me like,
"And did you correct yourself right away?"
No.
Oh, you didn't?
He just kind of looked at me
and
said,
at you and said
he didn't really realize.
You're just
he said,
idiot.
You know, you called me top or shot. And then I just said, I just stepped in it like a big dummy.
Yeah.
Like a big old idiot.
Hey, Eric, before we move on, I just want to say that. But I also want to ask you guys, because Eric, when you went by me, you were on you had a phone out and you were videoing the.
Let me address that and then I'll let you finish your question. 7 million people tweeted me, why is Jason on his phone? Why is JP on their phone? They were doing radio hits. Okay? Jason wasn't on his phone.
I was wondering
talking
that.
To people. JP wasn't on his phone talking to his wife. If everyone was doing radio hits, and then others, we were taking pictures and video documenting it because it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Did people have a problem with it?
People were like, oh, my God, it's Lurch on his phone. Oh, my God. I got so many
tweets
about that.
We weren't enjoying the moment. And a lot of the videos... Oh. Videos and pictures are up at thefandc.com. Schwartz was emailing us the next day, hey, I want all your pictures and your videos. So you can find it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks. It's on thefandc.com.
Well, thank God we took the videos because I saw some of my AWODs and they were the worst I've ever seen.
Well, he doesn't even know.
He doesn't even know how
to
take a picture. I told him to take a picture of us in front. How cool was it that there was a junkie sign in front of the cars? Thank God.
Yeah.
Because no one would know who we are.
Eric, when you guys went by, though, I did wonder why JP was talking on his phone. And it was one of those weird things
because
I saw
you.
You had your, and I didn't know that. I was like, why is he not, like, enjoying this? And I didn't know that.
It
but
was.
You, I was the question I was going to ask you was, even though you had your phone out, were you still able to kind of just be in the moment? Or was it just kind of surreal riding on the car? I mean, I can't imagine what that felt like to be
Of course I was in the moment, but I wanted to document it because I knew it would never happen again. So I just basically held it there and was just videoing and just waving to people, and of course I enjoyed it. It was incredible.
When did you guys find out? When did you find out you were going to be a part of it?
When Kevin, by the way, this is just this pullback curtain. When Kevin starts asking us questions and brown nosing like this,
nothing.
It means
he's
the movie's terrible. Most likely.
Yeah, you're getting a little wordy on this.
Because he likes attention dollars. He likes his
time. Although I listened to his hit on Fox News today.
Movies.
He did two movies today. He gave one a 4.5 and he gave the other a 3.5.
I know. Incredible.
I didn't tell you which one.
Who's going to get 4.5?
100%.
And Tag's going to get a 3.5.
Yep.
That's exactly what he did.
Because Tag is stupid.
Yeah.
Just like
hey, why do we even have him on? Yeah. I heard the reviews. I was driving in.
Yep.
Let me mention Tag. So Tag's actually interesting. So Jason, I think you'll find this fascinating. I think all you guys might find this fascinating. So do you guys know the story behind what this movie's based on?
Yes,
you know the whole,
I've seen
the real
trailer.
Story?
I don't know anything about the movie.
Yeah,
okay.
It's based
I heard your
on
review.
A real story, real life story of friends who play Tag.
So dumb.
And one guy hadn't been caught in 30 years or something.
Right, but in real life, the Wall Street Journal wrote an article about 9 or 10 best friends who've been playing tag since they were kids. So in the movie, Jeremy Renner's character is the character that has never been tagged in the 30 years they've been playing. But here's the crazy thing. I know you guys don't care about
this,
the behind.
By the way, you can only be tagged during a certain time. Or like, what are the rules?
In the movie, by the way, I'm so happy to hear Eric asking questions.
Oh,
thank you.
Shut up.
He doesn't really care.
Just answer the question.
So it's during the month of May. So the cool thing is they're adults, so they have a lot of resources to do things and travel places. in the beginning of the movie where like a character will get a job at someone else's job as like a janitor and walk into one of their meetings and tag them while they're having a meeting. It's actually a pretty funny bit. But the actual here's the crazy thing.
Go ahead.
I know you guys don't care about the behind.
Go ahead.
I know you don't care about the behind.
Oh my god, this interview is turned into a complete poop show.
I know. All I was saying was that I know you guys don't care about the behind-the-scenes stuff, but Jeremy Renner broke his arms on the third day of shooting this movie. So the majority of his arms in the film are CGI.
Right.
That's crazy, right?
You got to think about it. How did he break his arms playing tag?
CGI arms in the movie.
Big fake
I'm not kidding you. So Jeremy Renner was doing a stunt where he was on top of a chair and it was supposed to fall down. And he was supposed to land with the chair. He ended up landing on his arms. That's what took the brunt of the fall. He broke both arms on day three of the shooting of a 40-day shooting
Cruise
schedule.
Laughs at that.
Tom Cruise does real stunts. This guy's doing a stunt on a chair.
Hey, Kevin, EB's very upset because that means in the next Avengers movie, he's going to have a really hard time shooting his arrows as Hawkeye.
That's right. Oh, Eric is the biggest Hawkeye fan I know.
I know Hawkeye
Eric
from MASH.
Big Reggie Evans fan.
Tell everybody about The Incredibles.
All right, yeah. And you guys can make fun of me all you want, but this movie's going to make $140 million this weekend. So people want to see this. Even people in your audience want to see it. Everyone has kids. The first one was 14 years ago. So this is the sequel. It takes place a couple days after the original film. The same director is back. The guy who directed this movie actually did Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which was the Tom Cruise one where he's outside of the window in the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. So a lot of the filmmaking behind this animated film feels like you're watching a live-action movie. But Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul in Breaking Bad, he's phenomenal in the film. Every voice actor is phenomenal. Jack, who plays the baby, he's fantastic in the movie. I just love this movie. I love The Incredibles. I love Pixar. They're great for adults. They're great for kids. I mean, you guys all have kids. I'm assuming you've seen Pixar films. You know that these are great films.
I'm pretty sure that I had that DVD when people used to have DVDs the original Incredibles, right?
Mm-hmm. We all know that Cakes loves Wally.
No
Cakes
recollection
his favorite
of it.
Wally.
Yeah. No, Wally is not my favorite. You know it's not. Yeah. By the way, what's the lowest score you've ever given a Pixar movie in your career?
Oh, I didn't like Brave or Cars 2. Cars 2 was like a 0.5 or something like that. It was awful.
Oh, wow.
But this is a 4.5 out of 5. This is a great movie. If you're a fan of the first Incredibles, it's just as good as the original.
So this
no
is
question.
A 4.5, and the other stupid tag game is a 3.5.
Yeah, but just if you see Tag, watch the scene when Renner is throwing donuts at Ed Helms' face. His arms are CGI.
That's
those
so
are CGI
funny.
Arms. Well, can you
tell? Does it look stupid?
Is he throwing like a girl?
No. So John Hamm was telling me that – I interviewed John Hamm for the movie – that he still wanted to do all the action scenes with his broken arms. So in that scene with the donuts, he's actually just flicking them like a frisbee.
Lurch hasn't played tag in 10 years.
The only time I want to hear John Hamm interviewed, by the way, is when he's trying to track down Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner in the town.
That's a great scene, too.
John Hamm.
Hey, Kevin, text me right now on the movie, on Sicario 2.
We want to see a text on camera right
Pick
now.
Pick up your phone. On camera.
I want you to tell me what you
Where's
thought.
Where's your phone?
It.
Start texting him.
Pick it up.
All right, that's Kevin McCarthy. Our
tell your butt
reviewer.
Buddy Josh Brolin hello.
Remember, John Feinstein. And we have Kevin Costner on the show at 8:40.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. Your draft prepares these notebooks for us every day and puts in some stories. We send them stories, that sort of thing, as we prepare for the show. And there's
One, and I had to click on the video. I hadn't seen it till this morning. And I retweeted it from @ClassJoeJP. This 12-year-old kid in France who's playing basketball against all the little munchkins, he's 6'10". But the story is they're playing on like an 8-foot hoop. Mm. If you watch the video, it's really amazing
to see. And
the
12-year-old's like, why are you playing on an 8-foot hoop if you're 12? I don't understand that.
I mean, maybe it's a 9-foot hoop, but they say it appears that it's shorter than the regulation 10-foot hoop. But he's basically alley. He doesn't even have to, like,
jump
to dunk.
No, you're right. He doesn't.
And he's going up against, you know, guys that are... My son's 11.
Well,
so
he plays
some
in
kids
France.
Who are 12. I mean, some on. Kids who are 12. As tall as I would say, like your average tall is say 5'5" or 5'6".
Which is dunk on your face.
I think my son is right around 5 feet tall. He's 11.
Right.
So, you know, there's that growth spurt and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But at 6'10", going up against guys that are, a lot of them are probably only 5 feet tall.
He's literally a man amongst boys. I mean,
he's 2 feet taller.
He looks like a giant. He just does.
The video is hilarious to watch. And you want to think, well, maybe he'll be something someday. But why?
Just because he's dominating a bunch of five-footers?
Maybe he'll be the next Boban, that guy that's...
Boban.
I don't even know what team he's on now. Detroit?
I
think he's on the Clippers now.
I think he got traded from Detroit, yeah.
Yeah.
They were playing Detroit, and he was standing right next to Joel Embiid. Yeah. He made Embiid look small.
Is it Boban Marjanovic?
Yes. He's just a massive, massive human.
He's like the biggest human you'll
ever
see.
And it looks like he's got the cauliflower ears.
Right.
He's got something going on with his ears. Yeah. They're all banged up.
Does he feel good when he blocks shots?
Sure.
Of guys that are 5 feet tall?
Of course he does.
He feels physically superior.
Hope he tosses them into the stands.
Right.
I mean, look at this clip, Jason.
I hope he does the finger wag.
But on the other side of it, he definitely feels awkward. Like, if you're 12 years old
terrible.
And you're walking around at 6'10", I mean, you're basically a freak of nature. People are just going to stare at you all day long. You're a 12-year-old, you're almost 7 feet tall.
I'm trying to think of all the sports
maybe
we
the
played
Wizards
growing
will draft
up.
Them in 10 years.
Maybe they will.
Was there ever anybody that we encountered that was just so far dominant, better than anybody else? I remember playing against fast kids, some big kids. I remember guys that we grew up with that could shoot the lights out, but
I mean,
never anything like this.
I obviously never experienced it, but the biggest man amongst boys moment of my youth was when Walt Williams came and played against Roosevelt. I think it was either his junior or senior year of high school, and he played at Crossland.
But that's just watching.
No, that's what I'm saying. Of course I never experienced it because I was a mediocre athlete on my best day. But when Walt Williams came to our gym, he was a super freak, and he was 1,000 times better than the next best player on the court, and it wasn't even close.
When we played on our county basketball team, did we ever encounter anybody? I know that everybody was bigger and more athletically gifted than us, particularly when we played Landover Hills and Silver Hill and Oxon Hill.
All the hills. Landover Hills.
But did we ever face anybody that was like 6'10"?
No.
When we were 12?
No.
When I was 10, I was playing for Lanham County League.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the AAU scene back then. It was county league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we played.
We were a bunch of skinny white kids, mm-hmm. dorky white kids. We would walk into Landover Hills gym. They had these lights that were weird. They made the gym look purple.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a kid named Jeff Turner who played for them.
Purple.
And when he stepped on the court, we were terrified.
At 10.
At 10, 10, 11, he would just dominate. He was playing like he was 18.
Right.
I mean, he would just dominate us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't start beating getting brothers on the team.
Right.
About 3 years later.
Yeah.
Then we would start beating them.
How about Skippy? Who did Skippy play for?
Skippy played for New Carrollton, and he could only go left, but we tried to push him right. We couldn't. And he would just drain 25-footers. Believe me, he reminds me of it every time I talk to him.
But the glory days.
But that type of situation was, for me growing up, was Jeff Turner for Landover Hills. He would just kill us.
Yeah.
I don't know where he played high school. I think he went to Fairmont Heights.
Right.
We had one guy in Bowie that we compared to Larry Bird.
Oh, he was great.
Great. Maybe at Largo?
Mm-hmm. Ball player, actually.
Yeah.
But
by the way, someone's texting me asking me what radio hits are. That's when we call into a radio show and kind of describe the scene.
Radio hit just means you're calling into a radio
show. We were calling into Grant and Danny's show to kind of describing the scene as we were going through the parade.
Right.
That's what a radio hit is.
It was pretty easy
I wasn't calling Skippy talking about lines.
No. Right.
I was
People literally thought that you were just like making random phone calls.
Right, they were like too cool for the parade.
I just couldn't believe
it. How stupid are people?
I just am amazing to me.
You know, 85%, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So, Drab also put this story in the rundown. Myles Garrett, who plays for the Cleveland Browns,
mm-hmm.
I guess he did a radio interview in Cleveland.
He did a radio hit.
He
was he's blaming Kevin Durant for breaking the NBA. He says KD broke the league. Garrett said that Durant took the easy way out by joining the Warriors. The team had gone 73-9 the previous season. LeBron joining the Heat with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh was different because their success was not guaranteed, and which it kind of was.
How was it that much?
KD
joined a team 73 wins.
True. So he says, quote, with KD, you just stick him in and he scores. You already knew that what they had, they were 73-9 before, and you put the second best player in the world on an already all-time great team, and of course they're going to have success. So he's blaming KD for breaking the NBA.
I think there's something there. I wouldn't put it all on KD because it starts before when these super teams started coming, but I think all of you would probably admit it's probably the least you've watched the NBA Finals. Now, part of that was the Caps run.
Yeah.
Despite the ratings, I think they had some rating success, at least in the first couple of games for the NBA.
It was probably the least.
But I'm a huge NBA mark.
JP,
and
I'll go
just
even further
drama.
Than that. I'll go further than that. It was probably the least I'd watch the NBA play.
I'm just tired of the matchup. I'm tired of Cleveland Golden State every summer.
It's not even competitive.
It's getting stale.
Well, you're not going to see that next year.
The Golden State Rockets series, the Western Conference Finals, and the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and Cleveland, both of those went to Game 7s.
Mm-hmm.
There was some drama there. But then after game one, where Cleveland should have won, and that game goes to Golden State, it wasn't competitive.
I agree.
There are critics of LeBron, too.
I think LeBron is going to go to L.A.
There are critics of LeBron, and I don't agree with this, that say that he quit and they quit after that.
By the way, you saw the numbers he put up. Think about how good Boston's going to be next year.
They're going to be outstanding.
If Kyrie and Hayward are healthy. Yep.
All those young players, they're going to be legit.
We didn't spend much time talking about this though, and he received some criticism about it. That he claims he broke his hand, mm-hmm. or who knows if it was an actual break, but he punched a whiteboard and hurt his fingers.
He claims it was after the calls. It wasn't about JR. It was after the bad calls.
Whatever it was, he was upset that a game which they thought they should have had was stolen from them by the calls, whatever. And Tyronn Lue, I think, after the game, kind of said that sort of thing. So that was the feeling of the team. The leader of the team feels that way, gets frustrated. And so nobody knows about the hand until after they get swept. And then all of a sudden, the presser, he shows up with a cast for the first time.
Right.
Unnecessary.
He's just trying to make a point, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't a great look for him.
It was a terrible look.
Just take the beat down.
Right.
That's really
what he should have
done.
You weren't going to beat him anyway.
I mean, he put up ridiculous numbers.
Even if he didn't punch the board, he wasn't going to beat him.
Right.
But I agree with Myles Garrett. Because next year, Golden State will probably win again. There's a story yesterday on ESPN.com that the Lakers are trying to bring in LeBron.
Paul George and
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi, right.
I mean, the reason why I agree with Myles Garrett is, for 25 teams, you've got absolutely no shot.
Right.
And maybe it's always been like that to some extent, but it seems like the hill is much higher to climb. Yeah. And then teams like, if you're Sacramento or the Atlanta Hawks, one of these bottom teams, need a draft pick plus two superstars.
No, you got to wait until these guys get out of the league.
Or so you find a way to lure them, and then they bring a couple. Because as it's been said by many people, that all you need is LeBron and then just any other pieces, and it'll get you to the finals.
In the
Eastern Conference. Right.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I'm going to give Boston a shot to win it next year if they can stay healthy.
Yeah,
If Boston had Kyrie and Hayward healthy, they would have beaten LeBron this year.
I think so.
So I'm going to give them a shot.
I think so. I think that's a great
core.
And you can call that a super team if you want. I don't think it's on the level of those other teams, but I'm going to give them a shot.
Kind of a super team, but they've got the young talent, a lot of it they've groomed, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they fleeced Brooklyn.
Great coach.
Draft picks, and those draft picks turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are really good players.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie.
But JP talked about this yesterday with Wilbon and his, you know, because everyone wants LeBron. And Wilbon's whole plea for him to come to D.C. and be a great spot.
He's working a Trump angle to bring LeBron to D.C.
Like all of a sudden LeBron cares so much about this, you know, like political activism. I don't really think so. I think he just hates Trump. I think JP nailed it. This is a makeup for saying that D.C. is a minor league sports town. Mm-hmm. So this is his kiss and makeup.
Say, LeBron should come to D.C.
And listen, I like Michael. He's been very kind to us the times he's been on the air.
We've had him on many times.
Does anybody think that there's a chance in hell
that he
can play here?
Of course not.
Yeah.
It's called lip service by Wilbon to D.C.
That would be a silly coup by Ernie if he was able to pull something off.
It would be his master.
Because I agree with you. I would trade everybody on the team.
You trade the entire team for him. You trade the entire team.
But LeBron's 33. You're going to turn 33. Even if you knew.
He's only going to play three more years at a peak level.
Even if you knew he was going to retire, like if he said, you know what, I'm retiring at 36 because I don't want to have a decline.
Well, Jordan was here for 2 years.
I would take 3 years and I would trade John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, and
all
the rest
of them
all around
him, and then start over in 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah. It'd be worth it because you'd have a 3-year shot, which you don't have right now.
He's not coming here.
He's not. But I'm saying that's what I would do. I would literally trade every player for him, and then build around.
But don't you think there's something to be said there?
You'd be in Cleveland's boat.
You've got to
be in Cleveland's boat.
I was going to say, you have to have another two other stars.
No, but he gets you to the finals, right? Or at least he gets you. I know you think Boston's incredible.
LeBron's not getting them to the finals if you trade Wall and Beal.
You need to keep at least one of those guys here.
No chance.
At least one. That probably doesn't get it
done. I think you can surround him with... There are enough talented players out
like
there.
Like I said, I think Boston...
He got to the finals with Danielle Marshall, Zildjernis Ilgauskas, and Booby Gibson.
He's had super teams, and he's had poop teams. He's been on...
I only did that once.
He's only won five.
This team he was on this year, he wanted that team.
Well, because... I mean, it was a mid-season team they put together.
Okay, but he didn't want the guys that they traded away. He didn't want Isaiah.
Too.
He wanted, you know...
Clarkson, Larry Nance,
and Rodney Hood. He wanted all those guys. Yeah. He got what he wanted.
Just wasn't good enough. All right, let's go. Let's go to Doug, Myrtle Beach. Doug, what's up, pal? You're on with the Jux.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just wanted to call and tell Lurch about, you know, my experience with the Caps winning it all. I've been a big Caps fan for a while. But before I get to that, rest in peace to Freddie Wilhoit and the best drop of all time where he said she enticed me.
That's Will Height.
Yeah, Will Height. Yeah. Man, I remember being like 12 years old riding in the car with my dad hearing that on y'all's show. But now with Ovi saying we know effing suck no
we're
more.
We're not going to be fooling suck this year.
God, I love that
story. I love that
I quote. Think that's the best one. Man, I'm driving down the road one time, and y'all dropped the Freddie Wilhite, she enticed me, and I'm drinking chocolate milk on the way to work, and it shoots out my nose. I was laughing so hard. So
yeah. It's a great clip. It's a great clip.
It is.
But so I'm in Myrtle Beach, and me and my girl, every year they have this four-day concert, whatever. So Thursday last week when the Caps are, you know, could clinch it, $1,300 tickets we had, right? And I tell her, I'm like, look, if the Caps are even close to start the third, we got to find a bar. We got to get out of here no matter what. So the main act is just starting. And I'm like, look, we got to roll. They, you know, I know we're down by one, but we can still.
The main act was Led Zeppelin reuniting for $1,300 bucks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of insane. But long story short, man, we got to the bar, and it was just, I mean, other than, like, having kids and all that nonsense, like, I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience to see, you know, Ovi finally get it after, like, going through the pain all those years, man.
It's awesome. I'm kind of with Cake, so I'm really intrigued by $1,300 for a concert. Who did you see?
Cole Swindle was that night, was the main act. But there's, like, it's like an all-day thing for 4 days. It's here in Myrtle Beach. And then, who was it? Who's the dude? Luke Bryan, Zach Brown. Country. Like those were the headliners.
So 4 days of country. Gotcha.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Oh, dude, we got three little kids. We didn't drop that money. That was her mom dropping that money. We got to go that one night and then Sunday night. But still, either way, she was bitter. She was friend slick, boy.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Glad you got to enjoy it. Thank you, buddy.
All right. McBrien was the new guy on American Idol?
Yes. The most nondescript host ever for like a talent show.
Just very vanilla. Those judges were one, and he's actually hard to plastic surgery. Really?
Lionel Richie.
Your girl Katy Perry.
Richie.
Poop.
Why?
I don't know.
She looked poop or
kinda, and she's weird.
Is she still doing the short hair bit?
I think so, right? Or is she growing that out? I don't know. Most I saw.
Hey, Valdez, can you do me a favor?
Short hair.
There's a scene in Braveheart where William Wallace screams at the top of his lungs after they beat the English.
Can you compare that to OVs?
Can we do the OV scream?
The OV primal scream?
Yes. Can we do that? I guarantee you can find it on YouTube. Yeah. I just got to compare it. It's just incredible.
And then you throw in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. I got to find that. Definitely right here. Oh.
It's not the victory one, right?
I like Ovi's better. Because this one's from Buffalo Bill. He's a serial killer. He's a bad guy. Ovi's a likable guy.
Hold on. Is one of those Ovi? I can't even tell. Is one of those Ovi's?
That's Ovi.
That's Ovi.
Yeah, is Ovi.
All right, that's Ovi. That's
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. And where's the one? The victory one.
I don't know. He's got to
Doesn't clip. Have it yet.
He's got to cut that out.
Let's mash him up, Valdez. Play it.
That's so great.
Play it again. So much screaming. You won't do that the next time you get victory buns. Wake up everyone in the house. Probably won't.
You know what? You guys don't do that?
Last time I checked, no.
All right. Remember, John Feinstein joins us coming up at 8 o'clock. We got Fridays with Feinstein. Kevin Costner at 8:40 right here on the Jumpers. I just saw a headline which made me chuckle. It means nothing. Generally, stories out of minicamp, I believe, mean nothing.
Right.
We talked about this yesterday. Last year, there was so much buzz over Terrell Pryor and all the OTAs, training camp, mini camp, whatever it is. But the headline was from ProFootballTalk.com, and it said, Jimmy Garoppolo struggling at mini camp. What if he got all this money and ends up being who was the guy from the Lions? Was it Scott Mitchell?
Scott Mitchell.
Who had six games and signed a huge deal.
Yeah. I think he had three games.
The big lefty.
I think Mitchell had three games and then signed a big deal. But you might be right. He might have had more.
But what if Garoppolo... Because I remember
he's running around with that IG model now.
There was all this hype about Garoppolo.
Good for him.
They won some games last year for San Francisco, and he did play well. But I remember seeing a side-by-side comparison of his numbers with Colin Kaepernick's numbers, and they were almost identical.
For the first six or seven starts,
whatever the heck it was.
Well, Kaepernick, when he first started, was great.
I know, but what if Garoppolo ends up being
going to be...
Buster Rooney.
No chance. Never loses. Never going to lose.
He's clutch.
They're up and coming. Just got to add some pieces.
Yeah. Like you said, I wouldn't worry about that headline. I think once the season rolls around, he's going to be fine. Wouldn't worry about it that much.
He gave a lot of money to a guy who's barely played.
It's true.
Hey, I've got faith in Shanny.
But you know what he's shown? Glimpses. Glimpses of great
a lot of
potential
guys
greatness.
Show glimpses.
It's true.
It's keeping the glimpses coming.
That's
game
true.
After
yeah,
game
but not,
after game.
Not everybody
year
was
after
under
year.
The tutelage of one of the greatest of all time. Maybe the GOAT.
The guy on that offense that makes my pants move for fantasy purposes is Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
The guy they signed away from Minnesota. He's going to play a big role in that offense. He's probably going to catch about 75 balls out of the backfield.
Marquise Goodwin's going to put up some numbers, too.
Yeah.
You watch. They're up and coming.
Might be.
Might be a playoff team.
Might be challenging the Rams for the top of that division. I know that gets.
I don't know if they're as good as the Rams. I'm not sure they're that good.
Probably not that good yet, but they're making strides. They're improving.
Man, I can't wait till football season.
Really? That just means fall and winter. And I don't get.
No, I didn't say winter. I said start of football season, September, late August, early September. One of the best times on the sports calendar. It's great. It's awesome.
I think the great thing about this year, because of the Capitals' run, usually we're
waiting like 3 months.
Right.
Where we're like, man, 3 months and we're dying for training.
It's been compressed now.
I mean, it's 6 weeks away.
Right.
Training camp.
Are we
now once
be,
training camp comes. Then,
are we going to be more into the cap, the start of the cap season since they did win the cup? Are we going to be more into?
Absolutely.
Because usually we're not.
Yeah. We'll pay more attention.
You speak for yourself. Your boy over here is fully invested.
We'll pay more attention. I mean, you're not going to live and breathe with every regular season game because it's just not as compelling as the playoffs.
No,
but you're going to pay more attention.
We'll be more into the offseason acquisitions and who they sign, who they
lose. Positive words from John Carlson. They may mean nothing, much like the Jimmy Garoppolo is playing terrible.
What
in
words
minicamp.
Did you see? Because I read sort of words that made me think, it's done.
I thought he said, I want to be here.
He said, I want to be here, but it's a lot more than that.
Something. I understand that, but so don't, at least don't, he said, I want
to
be here.
He said, I like it here. I want to be here, correct. but there's more to it than that. So when he said that, but there's more to it, which he's right.
So you took it pessimistically. I took it optimistically.
Well, yeah, because
right, you're
I read
to me, he's a pessimist.
Well,
to me,
I read the whole sentence.
Right, yeah,
I read the whole sentence.
I read it too, but to me, he was saying that there's still a chance.
Definitely still a chance, but.
But it's going to be hard if a team like Edmonton comes out with like an 8-year $75-77 million deal.
Understood.
It's gonna be hard for him to turn that down.
I think that if there are competitive offers.
Oh, competitive, I think he would consider staying for
Capitals.
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
So that's why I take it optimistically.
Yeah, but I never thought he was unhappy.
He's not just saying I'm going to the highest bidder.
No. Most guys don't say that.
He's not gonna say that.
Bryce is not
he
saying
might be
that.
Thinking that.
He may be thinking that.
I don't think he's even thinking that. I think he's thinking if it's close.
He has a lot of ties here in D.C. from his wife to just being here since, 2009?
Yeah.
He might want to stay here.
I believe he wants to stay here.
But the money has to be right.
The money has to be right.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's got to be right.
Like I said, I mean, we'll see what happens with the salary cap going up. The story from the Washington Post was that they will have approximately $11 million in salary cap space, and they need to. If they want to sign all the guys who are part of the Stanley Cup run, they would have to sign not just Carlson,
like six
but
guys.
DSP, Beagle, Kempney. Supposedly Tom Wilson is due a raise. So
yes,
it's almost thought of. I was listening to Grant and Danny yesterday, and they kind of posed a question. Do you do Carlson and you don't bring back any of the other guys, Beagle, Kempney, DSP, or do you let Carlson go and bring the rest of the guys back? Fourth liners, the third liners.
The complimentary pieces.
Right. DSP was in your backyard signing autographs at Dick's yesterday. I believe they doled out wristbands for people for the first 300.
Did you listen to the show? We talked about it yesterday.
Ricky. You're not listening to me.
He's setting the table.
JP
loves to jump down your throat. I mean,
you can't even let me finish a sentence.
I'm the only one.
So the red ones, that guarantees you an autograph.
Right.
Then they gave out the blue wristbands. These are like grasper wristbands, like, if DSP
they had grasper wristbands.
Like if DSP, wants to stick around after the 350 are signed, you might get something. And you had to buy something from the store for him to sign. He signed, I think, 525 autographs.
Well, the line went out the door.
It was crazy.
Yeah, the line kind of wrapped around the building.
There were like 1,000 people there.
Corner Bakery is butt-sized.
Oh, of course. They get the spillover. Uncle Julio is their size.
Right.
Joe's Crab Shack would have been sized, but they're out of business.
They're out of business. Yard House not built yet.
Yeah, it's under construction.
DSP.
There's a lot going on over there.
Oh, yeah.
I told DSP to his face, you're the effing man.
Yes.
And I didn't use the word effing.
No.
Of course you used the real word.
Yeah, I pronounced it really loud.
The better word. As you were patrolling him outside the bathroom.
All I said was, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Has the Caps Stanley Cup gear gone on sale now? Is it slashed? It's got to be, right?
No.
You
mean the price is being slashed?
Yeah, because everyone wanted it for the parade.
It'll never be on sale. That'll be the standard price throughout,
and by the, way,
throughout the season.
That's wrong.
The Capitals are smashing.
That's wrong.
Their
internet
sales.
On sale.
Their internet sales for the merch, smashing records on Fanatics.
Oh, it's got to go. It's got to go on sale at some point.
Maybe in like a year or two, but it's not going to go on sale anytime soon.
I actually figured after the parade, that's when the big rush was. Everyone wanted to have their gear for the parade because, half a million people.
I bought the first wave, about $400 worth. I'm going to buy more. I don't have a hoodie yet. I don't have any beanies. I don't have a big flag to put in my daughter's room that says Stanley Cup Champs.
Why don't you get a tat?
I'm going to buy more.
Will you get a cup tattoo?
No, I'm not gonna, look,
you get a cup tattoo here on your butt cheek.
I am white trash.
I know you used to want like a Wile E. Coyote tattoo.
But what are your big
nipples? I considered getting a Tasmanian devil tattoo when I was younger and dumber than I am now. Which
you
is
also considered getting one of the
barbed wire.
The barbed wire.
Yeah, I mean, for the guns. Barbed wire right here for the guns. But I didn't. The body is tattoo free.
Right. So you're going to die tattoo free?
Yeah. I mean, why would I get a tattoo at 47?
Because you got to get the caps on the cup.
This is, you could hide it like inside wrist.
Yeah, the whole.
So that every day when you do your little watch move.
That's the wimpy move. If you get a tattoo in a place just to hide it.
No,
why
do it right here.
You
love to do
place?
This. What time is it?
Right.
So you can get like a.
Yeah, I would suggest do the wimp
watch.
Move first. And then if you like it, then you can you know eventually get addicted to tattoos and have them everywhere.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to turn into Brett Connolly, who's just chilling in the chair at the tattoo parlor, eating a slice of pizza, and it's no big deal. And he has a whole arm sleeve of tattoos. I don't think that's going to happen.
So what's our angle with Feinstein this week?
Caps.
That's true, because we hadn't talked to him. They hadn't won it. They hadn't won it last time we talked to him, right?
Yeah.
Anything else? U.S.
Open? He can get his Wilbon theory.
Wilbon?
We tell him that's our Wilbon theory. I like it.
Now saying that LeBron should come to D.C. after he got killed for saying D.C. was a minor league sports town.
Right. Now he's saying, you know, the best player of his generation should be here. It's a great theory. It's a makeup.
I'm sure you guys want to talk Goff with him, too.
Yeah, talk a little Goff.
Jared Goff.
See if he likes the setup at Shinnecock. I personally hate it. But maybe he likes it.
So
there are people out there.
That means you hate every U.S. Open setup.
No, I think this one's particularly brutal.
Well, it's only because of the wind.
The wind factored in.
I mean,
for Tiger, it wasn't
it's
a big
right
factor.
Off the ocean. There's going to be wind every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just part of the deal.
And Tiger did a great job controlling his ball
when
in the
Rory,
wind.
When Rory shot 16 under or whatever he shot, and then Koepka shot 16 under last year at Aaron Hills, USGA doesn't get sized for that.
No, I understand. Of course.
They get bitter.
Right.
Like,
didn't
really?
Rory go super low to a congressional when he won it?
Well, remember, it rained so much and it was just soft and he just killed it.
Right. Yeah.
Those are actually a little bit more fun.
All right. Fridays with Feinstein, the best-selling author, Washington Post columnist, next here on The Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.